Tonight, we're going to be looking at the second of our series in Peace Talks, in looking at the relationship that people are supposed to have, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man. Last time we talked about Bein Adam L'Atzmo, and if you missed it, the recording is on YU Torah, and you can also access it through our Shul's Facebook page. If you just scroll back a month, you'll find it. And hopefully you can get what you missed. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the concept of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, of course, there are many ways that I could have prepared this class, and I'm sure there are many ways that a class of this nature has been given, but I chose to do it in the way which I did. You have the outline in front of you, and what I want to do is give you an overview with the introduction, as you see in the outline, with the Malbim's opposites, leading into Hillel and Akiva's rules, Rabbi Akiva's rules, about how people are supposed to treat each other. And of course, we understand that, as in all of Torah, we have two different kinds of mitzvos. We have mitzvos asei and mitzvos los asei. That's one kind of way of categorizing mitzvos. Positive mitzvos, things we are supposed to do, and negative mitzvos, mitzvos that we are not supposed to do. Another way of categorizing mitzvos is the difference between Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the relationship between man and God, and the relationship between man and one's fellow man. And of course, there's a little bit of a spillover, and I noted this last time as well, that there's a lot of overlap between the different categories of our peace talks, which were Bein Adam L'Atzmo, between oneself and oneself, and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between oneself and one's fellow man. And fellow man, of course, means fellow human. And of course, Bein Adam L'Makom, between oneself and God. There's overlap. And if there is, if some of the things which are mentioned tonight relate to either of those, that's totally fine. It's not considered going off topic if we talk about how we're supposed to treat ourselves and how we're supposed to relate to God, even though our focus tonight is on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. I think I've translated Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, so if I keep on using the Hebrew, I hope that that's satisfactory, that we're talking about the way we relate to others. Okay, so the Malbim's opposites. The Malbim, in the book of Bereishis, on the story of Abraham and Sodom, when Lot chooses to move to Sodom, the Torah tells us about them, that V'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la'shem ma'od. Okay, the people of Sodom were bad and sinners to God. And the Malbim says, Anshei Sodom hayu ra'im bein adam l'chaveiro. The way in which they were bad is the way in which they related to other people. The way that they were sinful is bein adam l'makom. Okay, so when we think about what it means to be bad between ourselves and our fellow man, the first image we should have in our mind is we're being like Sodomites. And if we don't want to be like Sodomites, then we have to be very careful and very cognizant of how we relate to other people. And he says that even when God wants to explain to Avram that he's going to be destroying Sodom, which is five chapters later, he says, Zakas Sodom, Rachelomar Shehem Chatu Chataim Rabim Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The cry of Sodom, which is reaching God, comes from the fact that the people in Sodom are sinning against one another in the most horrific kind of ways. And the legend of Sodom, you know, is legendary, and in terms of the way that they would treat people, how they would treat guests, what they would do to people, I think that image in and of itself should be enough to tell us we don't want to be that way. The other side of the Malbim's opposites, another time when he talks about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is when Moshe Rabbeinu, is setting up his court. Remember the story when Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, shows up in the wilderness. And he sits the following morning after they have a meal together. The following morning, he sits down to watch Moshe operate his court. And he sees Moshe sitting there all day until the evening, dealing with everybody alone. And he says to Moshe, what are you doing? You have to delegate. You can't just do all of these things yourself. There are different levels of court cases. And he tells to Moshe, when you have a situation that something is a much bigger deal, let it come to you. But anything which is smaller, let a lower judge deal with it. And if they need to appeal, then eventually it will get to the Supreme Court, and you'll be the Supreme Court arbiter. In the context of telling him that, he or Moshe says, when they have a difficult case, they bring it to me. And he said, what's the case? L'mashal, the Malbim says. Hamazik mamon chavero, the person who damages the property of his friend, of his neighbor. Yelech hamazik l'shalmi Moshe. That damager will go over to Moshe to ask him, kama mechuyav al pi divrei Torah, how, or al pi din Torah, how much is he obligated to pay based on the rules of the Torah? So what does that mean? What does that mean? It's not even a question of the person who was damaged coming in and saying, hey, I got a claim against this guy. He damaged my property. The person who makes the damaging, who does the problem, he comes along and says, I want to do what's right, Moshe. Can you guide me? Okay, that's a tremendous sensitivity towards chavero, towards one's friend. When a person says, I want to do what's right, so I'm going to pay, I just need your guidance, Moshe, and you will lead me in that direction. So when we bear that viewpoint in mind, then we see that there are two different aspects of what it means to relate to Ben Adam L'Chavero. The good way, that person who says, I want to do right, and the bad way, which is the way that people say don't treat one another. Just to extend the Malbim's definition a little further, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu, actually a different pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Malbim notes that Ben Adam L'Chavero is divided between mishpat, which is justice, tzedek, and righteousness. These are good ways that the Bein Adam L'Chavero relationship is attended to. Okay, so this leads us to the classic examples, just to conclude our introduction, of what Bein Adam L'Chavero is all about. So, Rabbi Akiva has famously noted, and it's mentioned in a number of different places, in the Yerushalmi, in Nedarim, it's mentioned in Medrash Rabbah, it's mentioned in a bunch of different places, that Rabbi Akiva says that a great principle of the Torah is, V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to get in a couple minutes what that means. If you look at number two, V'yahavta lists, we'll get into a lot of interpretations of what V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha means. That's the story of Rabbi Akiva. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. Great principle of the Torah. Okay, and there's what to be said about that. The negative side is the story of Hillel. The story in the Gemara Shabbos, page 31a, left Lamed Aleph, where there is a fellow who wants to convert, and he goes over to Judaism, and he goes over to Shammai, Hillel's friend. But they have different methods of thinking and learning. And he says, convert me on the condition that I'm, or while I'm standing on one foot, something like that. It's not exactly clear what the guy was asking, or tell me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Whatever it was that he was asking. Some nonsensical request. So Shammai says, get out of here. That's not really possible. And Hillel accepted him. And he said to him the following, Da'alach sani l'chaverch lo savid, what is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Zoe called Tarkula, that is all the Torah. V'idach perushahi zilgamor, everything else is an explanation, go and study. What is Hillel telling him? That all the Torah is about how you treat other people. Now Hillel says it in the negative, as opposed to Akiva. Akiva says, love your neighbor. Hillel says, don't do unto others that which you don't like. Okay, and there's a lot of overlap, and there's a lot of discussions. I probably can give a whole shiur about the difference between Hillel's view and Rabbi Akiva's view. Okay, I don't want to get lost in that now. But the point is that both of them, in looking at a great principle of the Torah, are saying it's all about how you treat somebody else. It's all about how you treat somebody else. What about mitzvahs? What about God? What about... No, that's it. I don't want that. And I think I mentioned this... No, in a different context. Okay, I'm not going to get into that now. All right, so that's our introduction. Okay, an essential idea in the Jewish experience is how we relate to one another. So here we get to our V'yahavta lists. So I'm going to just read to you. I have a bunch of summaries here of what V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha means and how a person goes about doing this. And if you are taking notes, these are good reminders of Bein Adam L'Chavero kind of deeds that we can do. Okay? The Rambam, in the Laws of Mourning, says, the commandments to visit the sick, it's if you want the actual source, it's chapter 14, the first halacha there, the commandment to visit the sick, to comfort the mourner, to attend to the dead, to bring the bride to her wedding, accompany guests as they leave, make funeral arrangements, carry a coffin, eulogize, to bring joy to a bride and groom, to provide them with their needs. These are all kindness that one performs with one's body, and they have no limits. They are all included in the category of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you have to love your neighbor. Indeed, anything you'd like others to do for you, you should make efforts to do to your brother in Torah and mitzvos. Hear that last line? That's the opposite way of presenting what Hillel said. Hillel said, don't do what you don't like. Rambam says, whatever you do like, do for others. And that's what v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means, according to the Rambam. Magen Avraham. Actually, I'm not sure. This might be in Yoredeya. Might be in Yoredeya, but it might be Or HaChaim. I don't recall because I only put the number for whatever reason. Magen Avraham 156:2. There is a commandment to love every Jew as your own body, as it says, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha." This refers specifically to your neighbor in Torah mitzvos. But a wicked person who does not accept rebuke, there is a commandment to hate him. I'm not going to get into that now. It's a different aspect of Ben Adam L'Chavero. There are some people who you don't have to love. There are some people who are just, they're adversaries. And they, if they're trying to destroy you, or they're wicked, or they're evil, that is a different category of how you relate to Ben Adam L'Chavero. I want to keep this more positive, if possible, but understanding, of course, that that does exist. Tosaf there implies that nonetheless, it is a commandment to talk with him, to try to get him to change his ways, lest you come to completely hate him, which, of course, is a negative quality, even if there are people who you are allowed to abhor on account of their terrible behavior. The Sifrei in Devarim 187:11 says, if you hate your neighbor, you're going to come to do harm to him. From here we learn that if you violate a light commandment, you're going to come to violate a serious one. Violate v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and you'll come to violate, don't take revenge or bear a grudge. By the way, lo sikom v'lo sitor is b'nei amecha, those are the, which are about not taking revenge or bearing a grudge, those are the first half of the pasuk of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge against your fellow compatriot, rather, love your neighbor. And, of course, don't hate your brother in your heart. You'll violate, don't take revenge or bear a grudge, don't hate your brother in your heart, and your brother shall live with you to the point you may even resort to murder. So v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is supposed to be a mind changer in terms of how we see other people. There are some people, and Jackie Mason has this line, every Jew I know almost killed somebody. If he said one more word, then he'd be dead today. Right? So we all, maybe every now and then we have a feeling like that. Of course, hopefully we don't act on it, but the point is that we don't even want to get that feeling, because that feeling leads to an animosity which is not good for our soul. The Rambam, Rashbam, how does he describe v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? You only have to love him if he's your friend and if he's a good person. But if he is evil, fear of God includes hating evil. Sone ra. Ibn Ezra, love the good of your neighbor as you love your own soul. Chizkuni, you should love to do him a favor, just as you would love if he'd do you a favor. That sounds more like the opposite of Hillel, do what you would like others to do to you. Sephorno, love things about your friend. You have to lireacha, love things about your friend that you'd love if you were in his shoes. Oh, he likes hiking. That's wonderful. If I were in his shoes, I would like hiking too. You like hiking. That's great. Sifse Kohen. He says, one who loves his friend... this is a related topic about what Ben Azai says as well. But one who loves his friend who is created in the image of God loves God and honors God. That's a very nice insight. The Netziv, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He said, you can't interpret v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha literally. Canada, literally, because we know that your life always comes before that of your friend. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means I love you like I like me. I'm going to buy me myself a sushi, so I have to buy you a sushi first. No, I like me more than I like you. With all due respect, okay? I mean, that's not what v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means. And everyone understands that no one is going to think or even expect that his friend will love him more than he loves himself. There are natural limits we create. Therefore, the explanation is to look at the context of this phrase going back to the warning in the beginning of the verse. If you do something bad to someone, you'd hate it if they did it back to you. So too, you should think before you do something bad. Revenge is like if a person is cutting meat and the hand holding the knife is not careful and it cuts the person's other hand. Would the person take the injured hand and punish the hand holding the knife? It's like, I cut myself. Ah, you bad hand! No. In other words, if somebody already did something to you, don't take revenge. Kamocha means as you. Havtelarecha kamocha, just as you wouldn't take revenge against your hand, don't take revenge against your fellow man. Rabbi Shimshon Falher says the Reacha does not refer to the other person's individuality or personality. It refers to all that comes to your friend. We have to love and respect all that comes to our friends. In other words, his examples, this is Rav Hirsch's examples, ask about the person's health and well-being. Be happy about the person's success. Be sad for the person's failures. Help out when it is needed. Try to relieve the person of their difficulties or comfort them when they are in emotional pain. Okay, that's what we have to tell Reacha. These are all good examples of how we can improve Ben Adam Lachavero if we were just to be cognizant and aware of the other person's needs. The Aksavi HaKabbalah gives a list of a number of different things. All the good and kindness that a person concludes in his heart that he deserves to get from his beloved friend, he should do to everyone else. Okay, for example, Reuven thinks Shimon should do the following for him. He should truly love him. Truly love me. Don't pretend. Always respect me. Always ask how I'm doing. You should feel my pain. Greet me with a smile when I visit. Give me the benefit of the doubt. Be willing to do small favors for me. Go out of your way for me on occasion. Or be willing to lend me money. Not a lot, but you know, a little bit. Or, and don't be arrogant with me. Right? I don't want you to treat me that way. Well, then I should not be treating you that way. Okay, and that is V'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. Of course, there are more interpretations as well of what it means to love one's neighbor, but these are a lot of good examples of what Ben Adam L'Chaveiro could be and what it can look like if people are doing this properly. Okay, not doing to others. Not doing to others. So the first one which we have is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara, I can give a series. We could talk about Lashon Hara for a year. Okay, we have about 30 seconds tonight, so we're going to spend 30 seconds on there. So what example can I give you for Lashon Hara? Well, the Midrash Rabbah tells us a number of places that the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, were redeemed for Egypt on account of a few different things that they maintained. The famous ones are they didn't change their names, they didn't change their language. So one version of it says they didn't change their clothing. What, and this one in the Vayikra Rabbah, Parshas Emor, says the Alidei Shelo Amru Lashon Hara. They didn't speak Lashon Hara. He also says people were not sexually promiscuous, which is another Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issue, which is a huge topic. But anyway, but Lashon Hara. What does Lashon Hara do? Lashon Hara is meant to do one thing: destroy other people. Destroy other people, destroy a community. I once gave an example in the shul of what Lashon Hara is. And it's a funny example in a way. One of my in my early days of driving and living in Cedarhurst, not in Cedarhurst, but living close to Cedarhurst, so I would get parking tickets all the time. Cedarhurst, the meter would always run out. So you never want to pay the fine. If there's points, you don't want to get points, whatever. Not for a parking ticket, but whatever. So I liked going to traffic court. I didn't like going, but I would go to traffic court. And everybody who come to traffic court would come in and they would either say guilty and pay the fine, or they would ask if the points could be deducted, or they would say, my favorite was guilty with an explanation. Okay, what's guilty with an explanation? I had my kid was in the car, this, it was raining, and I got a double parking, you know. Guilty with an explanation. The judge says, did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Okay, guilty. You got to pay the fine. What is guilty with an explanation? It's that I know I did something wrong, but I can explain it. I can explain it. I can give you all the context to the point that you could say, all right, I hear you. You're not a bad person. It was a mistake, but, you know, it's fine. Lashon Hara is guilty without an explanation. Okay, I am judge and jury against you because of what I'm saying about you, and you don't have a chance to defend yourself or to explain context or to do anything like that. Would you ever want to talk about things which are about yourself without being able to explain if they're negative? Other people tell negative stories about themselves all the time. I can tell you this story. One of the times I was in traffic court for a moving violation, I was holding my phone because it was the morning after I got engaged. And somebody from my shul called, from my parents' shul, calls me up to say Mazel Tov. And I didn't have my headset plugged in. I saw it was, I answered the phone, and in that second the cop called me. So I'm not embarrassed, you know, it was a stupid mistake, I admit it. Guilty with an explanation, I can explain. The judge even said, how come you didn't invite me to the L'chaim? I told him, we didn't have a L'chaim. So anyway, but that's what Lashon Hara is. It's meant to destroy people. And especially people, if you're dealing with things which, I mean, what's the benefit of it? Bein Adam L'Chaveiro positivity says that Lashon Hara, there's no space for Lashon Hara at all. The Tana Dvei Eliyahu Rabba gives an example of who were the first people who really did Lashon Hara. Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram. Between their efforts to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu as leader, their efforts to destroy Aaron HaKohen as Kohen Gadol, and their efforts to just wreak havoc amongst the camp of the Jewish people, these were people who were terrible. I mean, talk about, if anybody has a terrible reputation in the Torah, people who we can identify by name, it's Dasan and Aviram. They are of the worst of the worst. Certainly along with Korach, but even Dasan and Aviram. Anytime there's something bad in the Torah that goes on in the wilderness before the death of Dasan and Aviram, there are two entities that are blamed for it. Either the Erev Rav, who are Egyptians, or Dasan and Aviram. Because that's who they were. They were just trying to destroy everything. And they were the first to do Lashon Hara. Okay? Revenge and grudges. Revenge and grudges. Okay, so that's the next one. Not doing to others. So, I mean, I don't know how I have to give it. I don't know that I have to go into great detail about the dangers of revenge. But I had an example here from the Pesikta. The Pesikta tells us the following. This is a Pesikta on. It's Piskal Pesikta Rabasi Piskal Lamed Ches, in which he says the following. Okay, we have a rule. A rule which I'm going to get into in a little while as well. Actually, it's in the next thing. So this is overlapping to the next section as well, in which we talk about what it means to get forgiveness for somebody for something which I have done. Okay, what does it mean to get forgiveness for something which I have done? So we know, and so I'm actually combining this one with the next one. When it comes to the rules of Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah and Yoma tells us, the Gemara and Yoma talks about this and elsewhere, that if a person has done something wrong between man and God, what do you have to do? You have to say, God, I apologize. End of the story, you have Yom Kippur, you're finished, you're good to go. But if you've done bad to your fellow man, and how could that have gone down? By taking revenge, by bearing a grudge, by carrying that grudge, by not forgiving, then the way in which you reconcile is through the person who hasn't gotten past it, but the person who feels slighted, the person who is guilty, going over to the other person and saying, I'm sorry, I apologize, please forgive me. And the halacha is very clear that when that happens, the person who was slighted can say, you know, I'm not sure that I'm ready to forgive yet. So you need a further apology. Okay, but after three times, guess what happens in halacha? It switches. That the person who was slighted at first becomes the bad person because you're not willing to let go. That's a grudge. And so the Bein Adam Lachavero says that I have to be able to let go. I have to be able to be accepting that the person's apology is sincere. And look, sometimes an apology isn't sincere, or sometimes an apology is sent in the wrong direction. And that is a problem as well. One of the points which he makes here, I believe it was here, is that it's the next one. It's in the Abravanel's point, which I'll raise now. And that is that sometimes an offense is so terrible that it really is impossible to get forgiveness. And I was thinking about this today because reading some news events which are out there, when a person does something wrong, they need to get forgiveness for what they've done. So if I steal money from you, okay, let's say I steal $100 from you. So, you know, you might be upset at me, but if I give you the $100 back, you'll be a lot easier to, you'll be a lot more ready to forgive, right? Because, all right, you know, don't steal again, but you made restitution, it's all good. Okay, and that can be pretty standard for most offenses that exist between one person and another, assuming that restitution can be made. That's one category. But what happens when restitution can't be made? What happens when there's no turning back the clock? What happens if you destroyed my reputation? What happens if you destroyed my good name? What happens for a murderer? How can they get forgiveness for what they've done? Much more difficult. What happens if somebody's a sexual predator? Right? It happens, we see this every now and then today, that there's a person who somehow has escaped the law. Some of the Jewish ones, they make their way to Israel, and then where they're free from the arm of the law, how do they get forgiveness for the things which they've done? That's very difficult. How do you make restitution to all your victims? So this is the example that the Rabbanel gives. He says, Paro, in the story of Egypt, Moshe is given a task. You have to teach Egypt that I am God, and you have to let the Jewish people go. Right? So eventually Paro realizes who God is. And he says to Moshe, you know what? You can go. Your God wins. You can go. He makes whatever qualifications. You can't go with everybody or this and that. But I understand. Hashem HaTzadik, Anochi V'Ami HaRasha'im. God is righteous. Me and my people are no good. Mission accomplished, right? Why are there more plagues? Why are there more plagues after Paro says this? The Rabbanel says in chapter 7 of the book of Shemos. He says, because Paro had not just sinned against God. Paro had sinned against people. He had sinned against every single Israelite. Why do we not forgive the Nazis, Lahavdil? Why do we not forgive the Nazis? There's no restitution. They can't make restitution. Now, you want to talk about modern day Germany, different discussion. The Nazis? There's no forgiveness for them. There's no way to make such restitution. And that is a challenge that is faced by those who do terrible sins. But on the other hand, teshuva, assuming that restitution can be given, is possible, but it goes back to Hillel's principle, which is, don't do unto others that which is hateful unto you, because it's almost impossible in many cases to do teshuva. Yeah. So that is some of the interpretations which I share. It's v'ahavta l'reicha means only your Jewish neighbor, okay? But we have another principle, which is v'ahavta m'sager, which I think I put in here. Yeah, that's in section 5. Okay, what does v'ahavta m'sager mean? So the classic, I'll take a 20 second split off for you. Okay, v'ahavta m'sager ki gerim yisem v'eretz Mitzrayim. We translate the word ger to mean a convert, right? But the pasuk says you have to love the ger because you were gerim in the land of Egypt. Were you converts in the land of Egypt? You were strangers in the land of Egypt. To the Egyptian, you were a Gentile to whatever their religion was. You call yourself a Jew all you want. But the fact is that you were not them. So there is an element of understanding what does it mean to relate to a stranger. And there's a difference between a ger tzedek and a ger toshav, and that's probably what it's talking about. What is a ger toshav? A ger toshav is somebody who chooses to live among you, chooses to accept your dominion in terms of the rule of law, and just wants to attach himself, but they don't want to convert to being a Jew. Okay, God bless you. You want to follow the 7 Noahide laws, you want to be a good person, you want to be a decent person, and you accept our laws, our rule of law, you're welcome. Baptist Sagar. You have to love that person. No, I'm saying there's no forgiveness. Listen, I'll qualify that there are some descendants of Nazis, for example, who currently serve in the IDF. There are descendants of Nazis who are lovers of Israel. Okay? Can we forgive the descendant of the Nazi? I think so. They're not responsible for what the grandfather did. So, you know, there's that. Now, what happens if a Nazi wants to convert to Judaism? It's a tough question. Okay, it doesn't really happen that much, but not anymore. I mean, they're mostly gone.
But what would you be forgiving the descendants of the Nazi before?
What?
What would you be forgiving the descendants of
the Nazi? No, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything to be forgiving. They didn't do anything. Some people in their minds say, no, and that's wrong. Of course, you're a descendant of a Nazi. We're not going to. Well, you have a bunny, you know, or Bernard Malavosum. Your grandfather was a bad guy, but you're a good person. You're welcome. Enjoy. Okay, we move on. Examples of looking out for others. Okay, so this one I actually shared in the previous class. This is an interesting. It's the Gemara Maseches Brachos, which tells the following story. Okay, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Kachaya Minhago Shel Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, this is the way that he would pray. Kishaya Mispalel Imatzibur Haya Mekatzer VeOlam Neterach Tzibur. He said that when Rabbi Akiva would daven with a congregation, he would daven a little shorter. He would go on with his business. Why? Because of Tircha Ditzibura, he was aware that people would be waiting for him. He was aware that he'd be delaying the people from moving on with their day if he would take his time with davening. When he would daven alone, somebody would leave him, he's davening over there in that corner of the room, but he's davening alone. You left him over there, you come back 20 minutes later, where is he? He's over there. Why? Why? Because Ripnei Krios Vishtachavayos. Because he's bowing, he's prostrating. This is the way that he relates to God. His tefillah, when he was alone, was animated. Okay, now can you imagine if people were doing that in the presence of a minion? Right, can you imagine people get really into their davening? Excuse me? You can't do that. That's not the way you daven with other people. You have to be respectful and cognizant of their space. Okay, and that relates to all kinds of aspects of tefillah. If when a person's davening at home or davening alone, so they have the phone there, like every now and then, oh, you know what, I had a thought, I'll go check something. So that's, you know, that's between you and God or whatever. But if it's distracting other people, Rabbi Akiva is the one who's saying, I can't distract other people, I can't ruin other people's tefillah experience. So another example of Ben Adam Lachavero concern is how we conduct ourselves in shul. So this is, you know, I'm a little bit of a stickler for it, and I imagine every rabbi of a shul is, because you want to try to create a certain atmosphere in shul. But the idea that you can't disturb anybody else's davening, you have to create a welcoming environment and a place where people feel comfortable davening. That is what shul is for. And so therefore, Rabbi Akiva's example is something which I find to be not comical, but very telling in how people should be looking at. And Rabbi Akiva was clearly very self-aware. He knew how he davened when he davened alone. So he wouldn't do that when he was in the presence of others. And of course, that relates as well to the makom kavua idea. We recently put out a nice list of rules about how we could think about what does it mean to daven in a specific spot, and how it's a specific spot, if you like, but with flexibility. That if somebody's in there before you, they get that spot that day, you know, kick them out. And of course, you never say, this is my seat, because that's just rude and it makes for an uncomfortable atmosphere. We don't want to do that. So be aware of what it is that we're doing in order to make other people's experience a positive one. Others' property. This is also another passage which I shared last time, but in the Gemara and Baba Kama there, there are three opinions which are raised about how a person can be a righteous individual. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hai man de boy lemehavi chasida, somebody wants to be righteous, l'kai mila de nezikin. A person should learn the rules of nezikin. Nezikin meaning Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, and the rules of Seder Nezikin, perhaps, which is mostly relating to tort law. Okay? In other words, how you deal with when you do damage to somebody else, or if there's a reason to deal with finances between people. Rav Amar Mila de Avos, Rava says that you want to be a pious person, you should learn Maseches Avos, and Amrila Mila de Brachos, and there's another opinion that says you have to learn Maseches Brachos, the rules of Brachos. And when discussing this, those who explain it say that Mila de Nezikin is really the rules of tort law. That is the rules of Bein Adam La Chavero, how you relate to other people. In other words, it goes back to the question of damages. Remember the example that I mentioned before from the Malbim, where he talks about the individual who comes to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, I owe somebody money, I damaged their property, I want to do what's right. So that's Mila de Nezikin. The other ones, Avos, learning Avos is referring to Bein Adam Liatzmo, how a person relates, how can I refine who I am? And Brachos is relating to between man and God. That is the essential explanation of all of those different ideas which you mentioned in the Gemara about how a person can be a pious individual. So when it comes to the treatment of somebody else's property, that is considered to be a classic example of how we are concerned for our fellow man. That I'm cognizant, I'm aware that it is not my job to destroy your property. It's my job that if I do, that I should make amends. But even more than that is to be very careful, and that's really what the rules of Nezikin are all about, and that's what's explained here in the source which I have, that a person should be more than cognizant, not just that if I damage, that I make restitution and pay for it, but that I'm careful not to damage. Okay, I remember as a kid when they would say, you know, if you borrow somebody's item, the big thing in those days was a Walkman. If you borrow somebody's item, treat it as if it is yours. And I remember I would see people treat their stuff like garbage because they said if it would break, my parents are just going to buy me a new one. I said, treat it, and it's high, my line was, treat it as if it's somebody else's. You have to give back to the person. You don't have any right to ruin it, to break it, or anything like that. And that is what the rules of Nezikin are, that we make every effort to return things or the way that they were given, and even more so, somebody, you borrow a car, you clean it, you fill it with gas, things like that, to make it even better, if possible. That is what the concern for Nezikin is all about, and of course, making every effort to not break things that don't belong to you. Okay, and by the way, the Sefer Ikrim gives an example. Who was the first person who dealt with, who was concerned with property and essentially made a major faux pas because he wasn't concerned, because he wasn't concerned about Ben Adam Lachavero? The first individual who did something wrong to somebody else. Remember who that was? Cain. Cain. What does Cain do? Cain says, "Oh, I bring fruit. Whatever it was. I bring things. I bring produce. You bring animals. Hey, that's not fair. Maybe that's your." Boom! And that's it. There's a dead hevel. That's not how we treat one another. Nezikin, damages. Okay, and there is a classic example of what it means to treat a person improperly. Right? Would Cain have liked to have been killed? I think not. Well, then don't kill your brother. Don't kill your brother. Okay, we're up to section 5, other mitzvahs related to Ben Adam L'Chavero. So it was interesting today, as I was preparing this class, I came across what seemed to me a crazy source in Avos Rabbi Nassan, where Rabbi Akiva says the following. He says, distance yourself from three things and cling to three different kinds of behaviors. And the ones which he says to distance himself from in the Girsa which I have, so different things related to finances, and the last one there was Vilasos Shalom. Shalom is in parenthesis. Orev is in brackets. Ben Adam Lachavero. Distance yourself from doing peace between one man and one's friend. That's Shalom, or from doing Orev Ben Adam Lachavero. What does it mean to be Orev Ben Adam Lachavero? It means to be a an arbiter between two people. So I found two other girsas of this, and of course the good things which he says to do includes making peace between people. So it's hard to imagine that the first one is actually the interpretation that it means to do peace. So I found two actually different girsas which explain the following. Now, what are the three things that a person should avoid? Pigdonos, miunim, and lasos arvus ben adam lachaveru. In other words, to be an arbiter, presumably financially, between one person or another, or maybe even with reference to peace. Okay, in other words, if let's say there are two people who have who want to make a business deal, so I come and I say I'm going to be the collateral for the loan. Bad deal. You know why? Because if somebody defaults, I'm responsible. I'm not going to like that guy anymore. So better to let them work that out. Or if two people need to make peace with one another, and I go over to one of them and I say, look, you're my friend. This guy's my friend. Come on, you can't be fighting. Okay, and I go to the other guy and I say the same thing. You can't be fighting. You're my friend. He's my friend. You can't be fighting. Guess what? Have they made peace? No. It's like, we're gonna hold our friendship together because we like Billet. It doesn't work that way. So that's one viewpoint. And another viewpoint is not that the language is shalom, but milaso shlish bin adam lachaver, which means to be the arbiter or the third party. Not a good ingredient. Rather, what does Rabbi Akiva say? And the other girsos, it's Chizkia or Rabbi Chanina, all who say that one of the key ingredients is to try to make peace between people. We have a mitzvah. We have a mitzvah in put all these in different orders. But the mitzvah, as it's described in the Sefer Chinuch, he talks about the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. I didn't put it in this thing. Okay, Avas Yisrael. Avas Yisrael means to love your fellow Jew. What does it mean to love your fellow Jew? It means to care about your fellow Jew, to be concerned for the welfare of them and the well-being of your fellow Jew, to look after your fellow Jew, to be a defender of your fellow Jew. All of these are classic examples of Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Loving the stranger, I mentioned before, loving the stranger, whether it's somebody who converts to Judaism or whether it's somebody who is a Ger Toshav, who joins the Jewish people and lives among us and accepts our laws, etc. We have to bring those people in and make those people feel welcome. Sometimes it's a tremendous challenge, especially if there are trust issues and especially if there are stigma issues. Stigma issues. In some communities that I have seen, Milwaukee, fantastic community, they're very embracing of the convert to Judaism. And in some places, the convert, unfortunately, I've seen it too much ostracized and not accepted and welcomed in the way that it should be. So loving the stranger is an important aspect of Ben Adam L'Chaveru, making people feel welcome. The importance of shalom. Shalom. I could go on for hours and hours and hours and the importance of shalom, but I'm just going to give the example of Aaron HaKohen. who is mentioned just about everywhere when it comes to Aaron HaKohen and his qualities. Aaron HaKohen, what was Aaron HaKohen most famous for being an Ohev Shalom? Berodev Shalom, somebody who loved peace and somebody who pursued peace. Somebody who would make the examples abound that he was Ohev Shalom, Berodev Shalom. He would pursue peace. Makdim Shalom, Eshiv Shalom. He would be the first one to say hello to somebody, and he would respond, of course, if somebody for whatever reason was able to beat him to it. And that this is the way that he conducted his life. Aaron would make sim shalom ben adam lachaveru. He would make sim shalom ben ish ishto. He would bring husband and wife together, people who were in a fight together. This is what Aaron's MO was. That was what he made every effort to achieve and to accomplish. So much so that many children in the Jewish people were named Aaron, because when the husband and the wife reunited and had a child, they named him in the merit of the person who had reunited them. Okay, that is Aaron HaKohen, and if we look at Aaron HaKohen as a model of what does it mean to be a great leader, why he's a great leader even more so than Moshe. The Torah tells us that when Moshe died, Vayivku, O so-called B'nei Yisrael. When Aaron died, it says Vayivku, O so-called Beis Yisrael. The difference between B'nei Yisrael and Beis Yisrael, some say B'nei in the context of Moshe, is only referring to the men. Whereas for Aaron, the Bayis is everybody, the household. Everybody mourned for Aaron in a way that which they did not even mourn for Moshe. Okay, so that all of these things are one in 5D, 1, 2, and 3. They are meant to they're covering things which Aaron did. The idea of God lying. That's a classic example from Abraham and Sarah, that God even lied in telling Abraham what Sarah had said about him. She says, "How can I have a child when my husband is old?" And God tells Abraham, you know what Sarah said? How can I have a child when I am old? Why? So as to not put a cork in the relationship between Abraham and Sarah. So sometimes a little lie is appropriate if it's going to bring peace between people, as long as that lie is not going to be discovered. If it's going to be discovered, woe is to the person who utters it. Okay, and the last example there of the importance of shalom, the Mizbeach, told in a number of different places, the Mizbeach was not to be made using metal. In any way, uncut stones, dirt. Why? Because metal is reminiscent of war. It's reminiscent of war. And if stones and dirt are supposed to remind us of peace, then how much more so should people be at peace with one another? That's the line which the various sources, Midrashim and Gemaras, talk about. Okay. Caring for the widow. Other mitzvahs related to Ben Adam L'Chavero is, I already mentioned the ger, because we often have the phrase, looking out for the ger, the yasom, and the almanah. The yasom is the orphan, the almanah is the widow. But in the context of many holidays, many other kinds of celebrations in the Torah, and other situations as well, the Torah tells us that we need to care for the people who are the most vulnerable in society. That's a Ben Adam L'Chavero. To look out for the person who is alone. And I would say even with the widow, we would include the divorced. People who are alone, people who are vulnerable on account of their circumstances. We need to do our best to include them, to reach out to them, to make sure that they have what they need and that they are comfortable and included, especially in a community kind of atmosphere where social gatherings and social interaction is so important. It's a very important thing to remember. The people who are otherwise neglected. The Levite is a different situation today than it was once upon a time. You have to remember, once upon a time, the Levium, they didn't have jobs. They were either the teachers or they were the people who worked in the base of Mikdash. So they didn't have land that they could. They had cities that they lived in. So they didn't have fields. They didn't have ways of sustenance that would allow them to survive. So they needed to be concerned for and remembered. The Baal Tshuva. You see on the page here, the Gemara in Bava Metzia 58b says you're not allowed to remind Baal Tshuva of their former ways, asking them things like, what does non-kosher meat taste like? At one point you weren't observant. Okay, to ask somebody and remind them of their days, it's like nailing a tent peg in their heart, saying, oh, you know, we know who you really are. We know who you really were. So I can ask you all kinds of questions about what that kind of life was. That is not a concern for where a person is now and where they are trying to be, especially if it's a road. Some people who are Baal Tshuva were once upon a time knowledgeable in the sense that they had an education, etc. And so asking them questions about things which they know about is not as insensitive in the same way as asking Baal Tshuva questions about things which they don't have the education about for, or they don't have the education about yet. And so there's that sensitivity which is incumbent upon us towards those who have had a different kind of journey. Finally, the last couple of things are the second half of the Aseres Nedarot. So there are many many ways to understand and to learn about the Aseres Nedarot. I have in front of me one example given by the Tzurur Hamor, where he says, if you look at the Ten Commandments, and we have it, well, without the light you can't really see it so well, but if you look at them, we know that the left side describes ways in which we treat others. Right? Do not murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal or kidnap, don't bear false witness against your friend, and don't covet your neighbor's thing. And so the right column is Bein Adam la Makom, or Bein Adam la Boro, between a person and one's creator, between a person and one's God, if you will. Now the fact of parents being on there is a way of saying between a person and one's creator. It's an easy way to understand it, because of course parents are partners in creation. But the way that Tzurur Hamor explains it, and I've also seen this in Rabbanan and a number of interpreters, they say that everything that's on the left column is a partner with the one on the right column. That's why I say there's a little bit of an overlap. If a person murders a person, another person, they deny their existence. And that's what Anochi Hashem, that's God, don't deny who I am. Lo yelecha, right? Don't commit adultery, means I don't respect the relationship which I have. And that's what lo yelecha means. You don't have any other gods before me, you're not respecting that relationship. What's the third one? Don't steal anybody. Don't steal anybody. That's like stealing God's name. If you say that you are not who you think you are, because I'm now going to kidnap you and sell you into slavery, whatever it may be, that's like denying the God's name. The next one, not to bear false witness against your friend. Well, remembering Shabbos is bearing witness that God created the world. So if a person is going to bear false witness against their friend, they're basically saying that whatever is the truth, I'm denying it. And the same thing goes for the creation of the existence of Shabbos. And finally, Lo Sachmod, not to covet, basically says, I'm not happy with who I am. I'm not happy with my existence, and so I want your existence, or I want your stuff. And that's Kabet Esavicha V'Yasimecha, denying my parents. It's basically saying, I am not happy with who I am or what my parents are for me. So Bein Adam L'Chavero is a reflection of how we relate to God as well. And it's important to bear that in mind when we consider the left column of the Aseres Nedarot of the Ten Commandments. The last thing I wanted to share with you before I summarize everything is one of the things which we say in the davening every morning. And that is the Mishnah in Peah. The Mishnah in Peah says the following. Eil dvarim she'en lahem shiur. The following things do not have any limit. Ha-Peah, v'abikurim, v'arayon, v'gmilas, chasadim, v'talmud Torah. So a number of different rules regarding fruits that we have. Gemilas Chasadim is doing kind deeds and the study of Torah. Elu dvarim she'adam ochel peirusein ba'alam hazeh ve'akeren keimus lo le'alam haba. The following things are things which a person gets a certain element of benefit for in this world, but even more so in the next world. And they are kibud avayim, honoring one's parents, for which the Torah says if you do it, you get long life. Gemilas Chasadim, which we're told there's no limit, you can do as much of it as you want. Havoah shalom bein adam l'chaveiro, bringing peace between friends. The Talmud Torah keneged kulam, and the study of Torah is equivalent to them all. And of course, the reason for sharing that is because havoah shalom bein adam l'chaveiro, the importance of bringing peace between friends. And of course, when we think about what it means to bring peace between neighbors or between friends, we have to start with our own relationships with others. It's very easy to be a moderator or a what's the word? It begins with an A. An arbitrator, exactly. It's very easy to be an arbitrator between two people to get them together. That is correct. But what about between me and the person that I'm going to fight with? That's what Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is, bringing peace between ourselves and others, and making every effort not only to achieve that, but to maintain it and to allow that to grow. You know, the concept of paying it forward is what Shalom is all about, and that's what Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is all about. If I am a person who conducts myself in a way that people like me, why? Because I smile. Why? Because I ask them how they're doing. Why? Because I'm kind. Because I'm gracious. Because I have empathy. Because I have sympathy. Because I have all the things that make an individual admirable to others and attractive to others. If I do that, then hopefully it can rub off. And that our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro relationships can only be improved. And if, guess what? If that happens, then the hardest thing that we have to do all year is something which we wouldn't even have to do. Remember, what's the hardest thing you have to do all year? Go over to somebody before Yom Kippur and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The rule of Yom Kippur is, if you don't do that to your fellow man, then you're not forgiven for the sins between our fellow man. And so we need to be cognizant and be conscious and make every effort that we can to do right to others. And hopefully between our observance of the mitzvah of Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, all the ways which were mentioned before about how to be concerned for another person's being. And of course, bearing in mind Hillel's rule about not doing unto others that which is hateful unto us, that hopefully we can achieve shleimus, we can achieve completion in some way, and halavai, perfection in our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, to the point that we are mushlam, good people who never need to say I'm sorry, because we are always covering our tracks and making sure that we have done right to our fellow man, so that we are doing well in our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro practices.